Good afternoon, everybody. For those of you we haven't seen at a committee meeting yet, welcome. Which welcome to all of you, actually, but especially to those of you I haven't seen yet. And today we'll be discussing the community services and infrastructure element. Is anybody here who hasn't sat in on a committee meeting yet?
There are a few.
Oh, there are. Okay, maybe there are people who can't raise their hands because we don't see their video. Anyway, we're doing committee meetings with a number of us that is less than a quorum, which allows us to meet and not need to have infrastructure in place to invite the public and continue to advance the goal of reviewing and finalizing all of the elements of the general plan, which we're getting very close, right, Barry?
We are, yeah.
So today we have seen this element before, reviewed it in November. It was, I believe, was this one in our packet for March also, or was this?
It was. This
was in the March packet. And so we are going to discuss it today. And I think with that for now, probably we'll do the roll and I'll turn it over to Barry.
Okay. So bear with me. I'm just going to go through a quick roll call and just say here or present if you're on the call. And then I'm going to walk through the agenda and sort of the meeting protocol, and then we'll move into discussion. So DJ Allison, I can see you, so it's makes it a little easier, but for the benefit of...
I was on mute. I'm here.
Okay. Richard is not here. Eric Holm.
Present.
Eleanor Huang.
Here.
Margaret Johnston.
Here.
Bob Miller is not here. Drew Norton is not here. Stephanie Plant.
I am here.
Roger Smith.
Here I am.
Sparky Spaeth.
Here.
Aaron Strolia.
Here.
Okay, and we have Mary Beth Butchie on the line as well. So here. And Rafi is also here. Right, Rafi? Oh, I see he's muted. So, well, he's here. I can see him down at the bottom.
Here.
Hiding. Great. So just to let everyone know, this call is being recorded. The audio will be, we'll trim the audio so it starts with our chair's welcome. And then the audio of this meeting gets posted online. Just to clarify a point made earlier, we're not excluding the public per se from these meetings. It's primarily, we have a bylaws limit of having subcommittees that are limited to 11 people only, so that we don't have a quorum present, because once we reach a quorum, we're subject to various Brown Act requirements mostly relating to public notice and public comment. We have invited the public, if they're interested, to join these calls. At the historic preservation meeting, we had a couple of public that were present, one of whom commented. And tomorrow, I think we've got a couple of people that are also going to be joining our equity and inclusion call. And we do have an opportunity for that at the meeting on the agenda. Given the number of people that we have, it's a small enough group that there's a raise hand button somewhere on your screen, but I don't think we necessarily need to use it. Most of you are visible. If you'd like to speak, it's probably going to work out okay to just jump right in. If too many people are speaking at the same time, or if we're talking over each other, please just raise your hand and we'll just, you know, Stephanie or I will call on you and we can speak in turn in that way. I don't have to make any announcements for non-committee members right now because there are none on the call. We are going to try to end as close to 4 as possible. And our agenda for today is to go over the community services policies. As our chair mentioned, this is part of the community services and infrastructure element of the general plan. We have talked about the infrastructure policies already, but we haven't really had a conversation about these policies, which primarily affect schools and education, libraries, police and fire services, and general policies about funding of government services and projects. So fairly important topics and topics that are not required to be covered in a general plan, but they have been in San Rafael's general plan since 2004, and we have carried most of the content forward. Are there any questions about the either the agenda or the meeting approach?
I actually have a question about, I mean, I made some comments to you, which I submitted to you. They were kind of, more editorial than, something I would, than policies or anything like that. Language suggestions. Do you want to talk, do we want to talk about things like that or just skip over that stuff?
So on this element, the only folks who I've received written comments from are Richard Hall, Roger, Bill Carney, and Jackie Schmidt. So I actually haven't received a lot of comments from other committee members on this element. And I would say, if we got somebody else joining the call, let me just let them in. I think, Roger, if it's a grammar thing or something like that, probably not. But if it's anything if it's substantive, yeah, definitely. And I should say that I am incorporating most of the comments that I'm getting, given that there aren't that many on this element, there aren't that many conflicts in the comments that we're getting. In some cases, like on historic preservation, comments were on, on opposite ends of a spectrum here that are fairly consistent among those commented. We're actually now being joined by Drew Norton. So I'm going to just ask 9606. Can you please tell us who you are?
Oh, sorry, Barry, it's Drew. I'm calling in on my phone.
Oh, okay. And so you're calling in on your phone, and we also looks like maybe you're calling in on Zoom too.
Why don't I hang up the phone and I'll just use the computer?
That would be great. Thanks.
I can figure that out. Okay.
Okay. All right, so any other questions before we jump in? Okay, welcome, Drew. So what I would like to do is just kind of do a really quick, 3 or 4 minute overview of the goals and policies that you have in front of you, and then ask for comments on each of the topic areas. And you don't necessarily have to go straight to a particular policy or action if you want to just ask a general question or make a general comment or ask why we don't have a policy on one thing or another. That's also fine. I do want to encourage everybody who's on this call who hasn't submitted comments on the form that we send out every month to please try and do that before the end of April. To Stephanie's point earlier, we are trying to wrap up all of the edits to the policies. I've been going through all of the feedback that we've received over the last year on all of the policies, on all of the elements, and incorporating your individual and collective feedback. So we're very close to having the full set of general plan goals, policies, and programs ready for committee discussion at an upcoming meeting. So with that, I'll just run quickly through the four goals that are in this element. So the first deals with educational excellence. And interestingly, this goal was in what was called the governance element in the previous general plan. We don't have a governance element in General Plan 2040. Moved most of the content of that, what was that element, into other sections. So schools are now in the community services and facilities element, but the policies and the goals primarily are carried forward from the existing general plan with some edits. Just to point out some of the changes, we've added a program relating to Dominican University as a potential partner and a presence in the community and something to be acknowledged and leveraged. Roger, I think you pointed out a policy relating to the relationship between our schools and the business community that may warrant some additional conversation. And there are new policies dealing with private schools or independent schools in San Rafael, working with them, again, as potential partners, and also working with our schools to address specific land use and transportation issues around school campuses, things like parking and traffic and noise related to school activities. On the next goal, which is libraries, there's this actually was not a goal in the previous general plan, not to say it's not a priority, but libraries appeared in the arts and culture element in general plan 2020, and we have moved it into this element, bumped up the policy from that plan into a goal, and really kind of made a statement about the importance of providing modern library services and facilities that are forward-looking and that meet the city's future needs. There was a lot to build on with this goal and the policies because the city has been studying its library needs and planning for a new main library and improvements to the branches. So we tried to incorporate that language in the text that you have in front of you, as well as what was in the previous general plan. Then we get into police and fire. These were in the safety element in the previous general plan, and we've moved them into community services. Again, a lot of the language is carried forward from the current plan. Police and fire services, obviously a high priority and something that we need to cover in the plan. And then lastly, the goal that deals with funding of city services, which is kind of a fundamental issue that overarches all, it really underpins all of the elements of the plan. Looks at things like budgeting and how we set priorities. And again, a lot of the language is carried forward from the previous plan. What we've added is a policy encouraging public-private partnerships that for funding and for services, which was not in the previous general plan. So I'd like to actually turn it back to our chair to maybe walk us through committee feedback on these topic areas.
I'd be happy to do that. Is there anyone who has something bubbling up that they'd like to begin with, or would you like me to guide us a little bit?
Since I did already provide comments, I don't know how to. I had some comments on police and fire, and those were the only ones I think that I could really say were, in my opinion, substantive and probably merited, in my opinion, some conversation. Okay. I'll just say that if anybody else has something they want to talk about instead, that's first. I mean, I have a number of other comments, things we could talk about, but we only have an hour, so.
Yeah, just one thought, and that is our current situation makes us all very aware of how dependent we are on both the electrical grid and just high-speed communication. And I'm wondering whether that should fit into this anyplace or not. Just something recently.
That has come up at a few different meetings, and I think both Paul Jensen and Barry have discussed, and Rafi too, how to address that so that it can cut across all the sections of the plan. Barry, did you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, we do have policies specifically, and they're actually in this element about telecommunications infrastructure and improvements to fiber optics and networks and things like that. So the topics addressed in the plan. But I think your point is well taken, that it really is kind of an overarching theme of the plan, is how important this technology is to make the city work and to allow us to function, not just in this situation, but in any emergency or disaster.
It just struck me as being part of community services particularly. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I guess maybe I misunderstood a little bit, but something that came up last week in one of our meetings was just sort of how to address a situation like we're going through now with a pandemic and into our plan. And I thought we had discussed that maybe there would be a section sort of at the beginning or some language to address these kinds of unforeseen, frankly, you know, life changers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's right. I'm sorry if I misunderstood the question.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty you know, fundamental, we're in this big sea change we're in right now as a result of COVID-19 and the way it's kind of reshaping our perspective on a lot of things and the way it will reposition maybe even the underlying theme of the plan in some ways. We had a conversation in the arts and culture meeting about is this a blip or is this going to redefine how we live? It was kind of an interesting conversation and nobody really knows the answer, but I think at least in the beginning of the plan, we need to acknowledge this is going on as we're wrapping this up, and there are a lot of unknowns, and we have to be nimble and acknowledge this as a driving force in this document and in our how we approach the future. I don't know if there's that much more we're going to say about it right now, but that it's definitely on everyone's mind.
Yes.
Did anyone else want to add on anything on that? I mean, everybody's got, I think, a perspective on this.
I think it'd be wise to have something specific and new, to strengthen these kinds of infrastructure things, to harden them against, mm-hmm. damage. I'm not sure how to put that off the top of my head.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to much more people who had a very temporary power outage in the last few days, and the degree of panic that they were struck with, mm-hmm. thinking they may be completely isolated now, not just, stuck in their homes, but really not being able to communicate with anybody. And fortunately, that didn't last. Mm-hmm. But if we had the kind of power outages we had last year, while we're all sheltering in place, it would be mm-hmm. a much more serious situation.
Yeah, I agree. That's a compounded situation, and certainly we're going to be having more and more rolling blackouts, and especially times of high winds and all of that. So, I think just with PG&E, the situation we're in with the dry grass and all of that, that's something we probably want to address to some large degree, because this is going to be an ongoing situation for a long time.
Yeah. I think my question is, can we build in some sort of language around flexibility in times of crisis? Mm-hmm. I know there needs to be like structure in place, but building flexibility around that structure to be able to meet the needs as our systems change and shift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just want to let everybody know while we're having this, Mary Beth is back on the call. She was, I think, bumped off from Wi-Fi not working. Are you there?
Yep, I'm on. Yep, I'm here. I'm on the cell phone now.
Okay,
I'm not sure why my Wi-Fi was collapsing, but I'm glad to be back. Okay. Thanks.
And interestingly, we were just having a discussion about the importance of technology not failing during times of emergency. So, yeah.
Hey, on the note of technology, there's a program 2.1A, which is about the new library. We talk about some of the goals of what the new library should provide, like public meeting rooms and adequate space for collections and programs for mm-hmm. teens and children. Should one of the goals of the library be to help provide internet access to people who don't have access to high-speed internet at their houses?
Or more generally, emergency services mm-hmm. of a variety mm-hmm. where, an emergency meeting place.
In fact, this came up also after the public safety power shut off.
Right.
For that as well. When we thought that was the biggest disaster we were going to have to deal with in this general plan.
Yeah, I think it was about cell towers and not having the communications through the cell towers that was concerning, because you couldn't use your cell phone if the cell towers all were down, which they were.
Just to also to acknowledge Bob Miller has joined us.
Sorry for being late.
So okay, we're now at our maximum of 11 people. So just we're still good. But if anybody else wants to join the call, they have to be on mute. So anyway.
Bob, just to bring you up to speed, we're looking at the different policies within the community services and infrastructure element, and kind of you know, discussing them, not in any particular order at this point, although perhaps to make sure that we get to them all, we might want to take a look. I might recommend we take a look at whether or not anybody has anything under the educational programs policy one that they wanted to bring up.
I had wondered why, Barry, you changed, you cut off the language in the goal that the original language went on and described a whole variety of things that come under the category of education, and you took them out, and I wasn't sure why.
I think it was mostly just to abbreviate the goal. We're trying to, you know, in general, look for ways to, you know, to edit while we can. I took your comment to heart, and I've added that back in to the revised goal. So
I just think it showed the diversity and range of what can be considered an educational product.
Right.
And under Dominican, I guess I think you might more likely say that they would, you know, the Dominican would help San Rafael support its educational goals, which covers everything, rather than, and then you could use as an example local educational lifelong learning, perhaps. Because the idea is to engage Dominican. I don't, you know, it's not clear. We don't know now exactly how that might be, but why should we be specific anyway? The idea is to get Dominican engaged and for us to engage with them in a way that, frankly, historically has never happened. For what reason, I don't know, but it'd be a good thing to change.
Eleanor, did you have something you were
wondering? Oh, yeah. I really like the addition of the expanding partnerships with Dominican. I was just going to ask if you could explain, I was just a little confused by program 1.5B, the development review, the language on that just kind of. Is that like.
Yeah, I had a comment on that too.
Yeah, sure. I think what that's doing is basically saying if a large development is being proposed, the city would coordinate with the schools to basically say we're adding this number of students, they'll be attending these schools, wanting to make sure those schools have the capacity to handle the additional enrollment, looking when the city does projections, like for example, as part of this general plan update, we sat down with school district facility staff at both Miller Creek and San Rafael City Schools, walked them through the locations where new housing was planned and said, do you have issues or concerns about the capacity of the schools that are going to be most impacted by where this development happens? I think it's coordinating the collection of fees, which are already there. There's a process in place where when development comes in, they pay a certain amount per square foot to offset their impact on the schools. That money goes to building new facilities or adding portable classrooms for the students that are going to be accommodated after that development is in place. So it's just kind of creating it's really acknowledging what's already happening now, and that there's this communication between the city and the school district around development and the effects that it has on schools.
Okay, that's what I thought it was. I just wanted to clarify a little bit. I think that's a really good thing to include because I know recently, or at least in my junior year of high school, there was something, I'm not entirely sure what happened, but I had classes that had like 38 students in them, which was like, seemed like there could have been better communication to better accommodate the growing amount of kids enrolling. So that was just, I'm glad that's included now.
Wow, 38 kids in one class at Terra Linda?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
On this same program, I guess I'd like to see, first of all, the language be, I'd like to see it appear more supportive of schools. It feels like we're kind of, you know, it feels like, you know, ensure that the impacts for fees are paid. You know, it just seems like we're trying to get them. And rather than say, hey, we want to help make this work. We want you to be, you know, we want a positive, you to be the positive member of our society that you should be. And along the, so I guess that's a more of a nuance that I think you could easily change.
Yeah, encouraging cooperatively and
language, that stuff. I also think, though, this program should include some way of working with the schools on more on their long-term development goals. I'm thinking now to the fire station, I forget, 54, is it? And the planning process that went on, it turned out, you know, we could have worked with the schools better to change the access while we remodeled the fire station. And frankly, it was, I'm sure there are details I'm not aware of, but it was a demonstration that if everybody had talked to each other much sooner and worked together a little differently, we could have ended up with a better result, conceivably with even less cost to all the parties. But certainly it might have worked out with better driveway access and things like that. So knowing what they're doing and they're knowing what we're doing further up ahead of time would be a good thing somehow. And I don't know how hard that would be to do, but it'd be nice to just make it a program.
Roger, if I could just chime in, all those things do happen with, there was extensive conversations with school district, but it takes two parties to come to an agreement.
I'm not trying to lay blame, Rob.
Yeah.
Well, and we have some examples in other nearby communities where these things can go to lawsuit, right?
But watching College of Marin and Kentfield.
Right, when a certain middle school and a certain junior college don't, you know, talk to each other. And I think that we don't want it to go in that direction either, obviously.
Well, I guess I'm just saying let's continue to try and make that overt in our general plan. Maybe we'll be more successful next time.
Would it make sense to have some sort of recalibration process every few years? I'm thinking about like the census process that happens at the state level, national level. But, you know, it does seem like there's a constant misalignment with the sort of school demographics, the needs versus the sort of placement of students. You know, stories I'm hearing from like Santa Fe High, when the bridge is closed, all of a sudden the enrollment drops by 30% that day, right? Mm-hmm. So is there some sort of process that we can integrate in that helps to keep the proper funding and long-term planning and resources properly allocated as the sort of distribution of students and needs are aligned properly?
Yeah, I think it's a matter of coordination, since the city's authority over those matters is pretty limited. I mean, the school board handles most of that in the school districts, but it's the city is sharing its information on where development may happen, where road improvements are planned, and it's a matter of communication and talking with each other primarily, and sharing data, sharing planning information. And one of the things that I found very interesting in meeting with the school district on this was that enrollment is largely driven by demographic change and not by development, not by construction.
Yeah.
And the figures were really, really interesting to look at the changing number and mix of students. It's driven by immigration more than it is by new housing being developed.
Yeah, I don't know to what extent there's still Terra Linda and City of Santa Fe schools are still accepting a lot of out-of-district students. They at one time they were. I don't know if they still are, but there was excess capacity at one point, and they were accepting a lot of kids from Richmond and other areas.
Mm-hmm.
But I know the schools do put a lot of effort into trying to project future populations and future demographics. I don't know how successful they are at it.
Yeah, I mean, I've also been working with Linda Jackson on this as well, in her capacity as a trustee, and so she's been reviewing a lot of the technical documents and sharing that with the school board members as well. So I feel like we're pretty well covered, at least in terms of this process, on communicating with both school districts on where we see development happening. There's, you know, sort of the other issue of school operations and things like safe routes to school and making sure kids can walk or bike safely to their schools. Other, you know, there, I'm just, what I'm getting at is that there are other kind of policy issues in the general plan that relate to schools where the city does have more control and ability to influence.
Shall we move on to the library policy, or did somebody have another?
Yes. I've been waiting.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mary Beth.
I wanted to back up just a little bit to policy 1.5, campus and land use and transportation issues. I don't think we're being specific enough here. This is one of the most significant impacts that the school has in our community is just straight up on traffic. And while I'm all in favor of working with them to address traffic, I think we need to be specific about repeatedly bringing to the school district's attention the impact that their school schedules have on traffic, and strongly encouraging them to have staggered beginning times, to have hours that do not coincide with our peak traffic times, and to be a real partner in addressing the traffic issues that we have in San Rafael as probably the single largest catalyst of traffic, at least timing problems in San Rafael. So I think we should be a little bit clearer and a little bit more emphatic with our commitment as a city to bring this to the attention of the school district.
Can I add to that, not just school districts, but also private schools? And I'm particularly aware of the impact of private schools on traffic in North San Rafael. Traffic on Freitas Parkway in the morning is largely generated by the private schools that are located in that area. And this is a particular interest to the Glenis Watershed Council, because we're trying to look at how to do improvements to the Freitas corridor that would improve the creek. But there will be objections to reducing any traffic flow as long as there's traffic jams caused by people trying to get to private schools that are located inland, you know, on Freitas Parkway.
This is DJ. I want to chime in on this one as well. You know, a lot of the time I think there's this idea that the city and the schools should work together to solve some of these issues about traffic or parking. But, you know, the schools have a lot of problems that they're trying to deal with on their own. And, you know, there are things that the city can just do without the school district needing to be involved. You know, I live right by San Rafael High. I mean, honestly, Karen lives on my street, so maybe she wants to chime in on this too. But, you know, parking and traffic are a big issue around the high school. There's kids circling around all morning and all afternoon, driving around in the cars looking for places to park. And the city could really easily fix that by something like a residential parking permit program, right? And then students wouldn't be parking in your neighborhood anymore. That's not really something that's for an example. Something that doesn't require working with the school district to solve the problem. That's a solution to the problem the city could do on their own. Mm-hmm. And so I just, you know, I guess I would also be interested in revising this policy in a way that sort of also just implies that the city should work to solve some of these problems within their ability without necessarily having to build consensus with the district on it. You know, the district can't make the students not park in the neighborhood, for example.
Okay,
let's see if we can move along to any discussion on the library policy. Or the library policies under the library goal. I didn't have any specific comments in that section myself.
I don't have anything on that.
Susan Andrade Wax has asked that we take these library policies to the Library Commission and ask for their review. So that stuff will happen the next time there's a Library Commission meeting.
I presume that it already happened, but
That hasn't happened. I think this hit right at the time where commissions were, I'm not sure when their last meeting was.
Okay. Thank you. And then number three, where are we now? What's the third one, Barry?
So that's public safety, which is police.
Oh, and thank fire. You. And I know we sort of talked about some of these policies already, but were there other comments that people had in this?
I have quite a bit on this, and I don't mean to dominate, so if you want to shut me up at any time, I won't object to it, but I do want to say what I have to say so everybody hears it at least. If that's what, I mean, I just want to preface a little bit. well, I mean, the first part is easy. Goal three, I thought the original language was better. It was, talk about adding language, Barry.
Well, but I'll tell you what.
I won't go into great detail.
The problem is it's not consistent with all of the other goals, because every other goal in the general plan has a statement and then a few sentences that kind of elaborate on it. And so
I'll cave on that.
Make all goals equal. So
in policy 3.1, you deleted the language regarding cost effectiveness. And I think if this is really important when it comes to police and fire, people get really hysterical over police and fire. And police and fire guys, they love to go out and spend money on lots of really expensive things, some of which work, some of which are important, you know. But we have a rest of the city to run and limited public funds. So it should always be a major policy that everything they do, like everybody else, should be cost effective, and it should be measurable and somewhat, you know, and to, especially now, for example, I mean, we all are concerned about fire safety. But that doesn't mean you go out and spend unlimited amounts of money on fire safety, because we have, again, other city goals and other city needs, and you have to balance all that. And plus, you want to make sure that what you're spending money on is a sensible way to spend money. There's good pieces of equipment or good pop programs, and there are things that are wasteful. We all know that. So I would strongly urge us to add that back. Even if it's its own policy, quite frankly, I think it's important enough. Because we're talking about I believe this is one of our, these between fire and police are our largest expenditure in the city, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean,
So
if you're anywhere, you're going to be careful how you spend money. It's here, especially because they also have the highest retirement fund load on the city. So, you know, these are things to think about when you're thinking about a whole city as opposed to, you know, a special interest. That was kind of, I kind of got into that on capital facilities. You know, using absolute language does tend to cause people to go wild on spending. You know, we want really good service. We don't need to have the very best cutting edge service.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the stuff I sent to Barry, so I don't want to belabor it here. Oh, you know. On the police, I had a general comment. Police and fire, police first. I've had reason with Stephanie to work with the police department a bit on the North San Rafael. And I have no complaints about our police service. I feel safe in San Rafael. I think we're well served. So this isn't about...
That was East San Rafael, Roger, right? It was our East San Rafael working group, yeah.
Did I say North San Rafael?
You did.
But I mean, you know, so this isn't about watching over our police in any way. You know, I think they're, you know, this isn't like a big city. But I have found in the process, and I don't know the background of all this, that the police seem to operate very independently of the rest of the city. They have their own web pages, they have their own, you know, they don't interface with the city in a way that allows them to get input. They have programs and policies that I don't know of any public committees that meet and work with them or talk to them in a similar way we're doing this general plan. My belief is that their service to us could be improved from their point of view and from our point of view if they were better integrated. And I don't know how to make that a program, but I think it should be one. by way of example, I think we found out, and you can add detail where you can, Stephanie, because you've worked with them more directly, but where the police, you know, couldn't change things because they had their own, we said, why don't you do this on your webpage? Well, maybe we can, we're not, you know, we have one of the policemen who's doing it, and we, you know, it was like, this is ridiculous. Santa Fe has a fabulous website, and why isn't the city just one more department? Why should they have their own separate stuff? And it just kind of showed, it was a kind of a, and I, if I were a police administrator, I'd be saying, yeah, I don't want any of these guys in my business. I mean, I can understand their motivation, but I think it behooves us to get the best we can get out of the police. And I believe that public input, while annoying for public officials, is also very valuable, and it keeps their game sharper.
Some of what Roger's talking about were some procedural items that the police service offers that many of the business owners were not aware of, like registering your security cameras with the police department, so that, because many of the businesses in East San Rafael suffer from vandalism, and I'm sure many of the businesses throughout the city, this just happens to be my area of focus, or where my business is. And if your camera's registered, then they have a whole network of cameras. And then either, you know, when things are going on, there's more capacity for the police department. And, you know, it wasn't something that you could do online. You had to like print the form and send it in, and you couldn't access it from the city's website. And similarly, there's a no trespassing form that has to be filed every year to basically say that you don't want people trespassing on your private property, but that you have to keep that up. Like, that's not an assumption.
Until we talked to them, you had to dig it out of their webpage. I mean, no one had ever criticized them and said, hey, why don't you make this easier?
and they have done some, I mean, after we talked to them.
They responded to that. They were responsive, but it was clear we were the first group they had come across that actually talked to them about things like that. And there should be a more ongoing dialogue. There's a lot of frustration, in the business community, about the police response to the homeless, the police response to petty crime, which doesn't mean they're going to fix these problems. It means, though, that there should be a way for people to express their frustration when there's law breaking, and the police need to be clear about what they can and can't do, so there is less frustration, which to me means is good government in that sense. So I guess, I don't know how to put this into a program, but it's kind of a whole area that isn't even brought up in the general plan.
Well, it's almost,
I think it belongs in the general plan.
To me, it's kind of like the back of a house part of crime prevention through environmental design, in a way. I mean, the crime prevention through environmental design, program 3.2A, is what the citizen or the business owner can do. But there is sort of the companion piece of that for what the police department, what tools that are in the toolkit that they're offering. And they have them. But, you know, how are they communicating them? How user-friendly are they? How easy are they to keep up? And I think they're, and how integrated are they into the city's system or not?
And Mary Beth, maybe you have input on this. Is she there?
She may have dropped.
Yes.
Oh, nope, there
nope,
you are.
Nope. I'm here listening to you debate the issues that we debate all the time.
This isn't like, oh my God, we're going to move the city in a new direction kind of stuff, but we think it would make for a better police public interface.
And that's always a good objective. Is the general plan the right way, the right place to do that? When we need to persuade internally to bring that into fruition, I'm not sure. That's not typically the type of thing that we put here.
Well, I've not seen it brought up at any other time, and it seems like this is a public document, so it's a way to give the city council a tool to use.
It's coming from
the public as opposed to from the council.
Usually you would address something like this in a strategic plan, and many police departments have like a five-year strategic plan that addresses some of the things we're talking about. I mean, one possibility would be to include a an action program. I know we have so many action programs in here that call for some another plan, but in some respects, it's a systemic issue of how does the department function with the rest of the city, and you wouldn't ordinarily address that in the general plan, which is really more about the physical element of it as opposed to the operational and the departmental functions. Not to say it's not a critical issue and we can raise it, but I don't know that we're going to have a really effective program on that very issue.
Well, does the city, does the fire department
well, Roger, have a plan? Roger, I think that the best way to handle it is for perhaps Barry and Paul to raise it up through the channels to Jim and let him know that this issue came up in the general plan discussions and that while we didn't think the general plan was the right place for this issue to be addressed, that a more concerted effort should be made to have a fully integrated communications platform or something like that so that Jim can take it up with the chief. That's what I'm thinking would be the most productive way to address this.
How do we get a feedback on that? I mean, to me, that sounds like I'm not trying to be argumentative. It may sound like it, but frankly, that sounds like a way to bury it in the sense that it'll get discussed by Jim. He'll bring it to the chief and she'll say, okay, I'll think about that. And that's the end of that. I mean, there's not very many opportunities for the public to get involved with the police department. And I mean, unless if we have it, do we have a strategic plan of some sort? Does the police have a document like that? I don't know what we'd call it. Maybe it's not a strategic plan, but I've never heard of the police department going out to the public and saying, let's come up with, you know, what we're going to do for the next 5 years. Because that would be a way. You're right, Barry. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one way. They're very receptive and have public meetings all the time. You know, send an email to the chief. I'm trying to do the opposite of burying it. In some ways, putting it in the general plan is a good way to bury it. By going through the channels in City Hall, you get the apparatus of government behind you, and that's how actions can get taken. So that's my objective was not to bury it, but rather to put it into a place where it could be actioned on in a fairly direct and simple way.
Go
ahead, Steph.
We can always have her back.
Well, I mean, I guess I kind of, the more I'm thinking about it, the first I've heard about it is the idea of having the police have a strategic plan. I mean, is that a bad idea?
It's not, I mean, it's pretty common. A lot of the police, when I first began doing the background research on the general plan, I was surprised that there wasn't a strategic plan for police services, but there often is.
I mean, I would like to suggest that as a program. And then, you know, it's a way of bringing it up through the general plan. We also, at the same time, it'd be great to bring this back to Jim and have this discussion and tell what the goal is. Again, we're not trying to hurt the police department. This isn't, I don't want them to see it as adversarial. But again, if I were a police chief and had the current situation, I'd be totally happy.
Yeah, I concur.
You know, but I think some more input would be valuable. And I'd like to see something in writing that we do.
I think a strategic plan would go nicely with a new public safety center.
Yeah. Very nice, true.
In the interest of time, probably we should keep going. I did very briefly just want to say that I love program 3.4A, but I'm not sure why it has to just be the downtown footbeat. You know, I like East San Rafael too, and I think that the crime rate is quite high there. And I know I sing the same song all the time, but the crime rate is quite high there. And I know it's not the jewel of our town, or maybe where our citizens and citizens of the rest of the county come to dine, but it is where our economic engine lives. So I would consider expanding that out of just downtown.
Well, the Home Depot Garden Center is my happy place. Are you kidding?
I got to tell you, it's packed. I was just there today.
Yeah, I agree with Stephanie on that, and even expanding it into Terra Linda. There are services that are needed there as well.
Yeah, my comment on this was more not to limit, say, footbeat. Yeah, foot patrols work great. I mean, maybe they're great, but we have a 10 or 20 year plan. Why would you specify one police technique? Why wouldn't you just say you want the best policing techniques that we can find, whatever they might be? If it happens to be foot patrol right now, great, continue foot patrol, you know. But 5 years from now, somebody may think of something new, so I would be less specific.
Yeah, we'll have hoverboards by then.
What's that?
Right. We'll have hoverboards by then.
Yeah.
Why? What does 3.4A add that isn't already in 3.4 in a broader and less specific way?
Quality of life program.
I think the idea was that we have this policy to maintain, you know, certain programs, and Footbeat was an example of a program. It's probably the most, was the program that was suggested to me when we had these conversations with the police department about something that was effective that we should continue. So we included it as an implementing item specifically. So I don't know. We certainly can make the changes to apply it to the whole city, but probably it's going to be a different, the program may sound pretty different after we get through with making the edits. And yeah, to your point, it needs to be sufficiently different than the policy right above it, so it's not redundant.
But it is an important issue for, particularly for older adults who won't go downtown, and it might not be that downtown isn't safe, it's the perception of safety, and working on some sort of way to improve the perception of what's going on downtown, as well as have the footbeats, but it's also outreach and education about what's really happening downtown.
I didn't mean to take anything away from the downtown program at all. I just think it's been successful.
I think it should be all over too, but I think there is a perception that keeps people that I know from going downtown in the evening. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily valid, but it is a perception. Yeah.
Well, as it is 4:05, and the fourth policy or goal starts with the word funding, I fear that Roger may actually need to like stand up to talk about this one.
Well, no, actually, my main thrust on funding was, I've mentioned this in meetings before, I think having a policy that we apply more rigorous cost-benefit analysis to things that cost money. There's a number of ways to apply it in these various programs, and so without getting tedious about it. You know, if something is a good idea and it really makes sense, you should be able to demonstrate it without, you know, just waving your arms around. I think it behooves us to be, I mean, we just have limited funds. That's all there is to it. I mean, this is all about money. Everything's all about money, right? We do all these things if we had all the money in the world. We don't.
And I didn't mean to specifically just call on Roger to the expense of the others of you. So if you
gave me an opening.
Yes, I know I did, but I was actually trying to do the opposite.
Okay, I'll shut up now.
I want to add, though, that it was great to have all of these policies to build on from the 2020 plan. And I mean, it showed to me, and even a year and a half ago, first going through this, that this was not a new issue. This issue was, clearly a front burner item in the last general plan update. Also, not to say that that's unusual, but it's actually rare to find this set of policies in another general plan in the Bay Area or in California. It's kind of unusual for a general plan to go there in this way with a lot of policies about budgeting and funding. Typically that would be, that's part of implementation. So, I think in many ways it speaks to how important it is to this general plan that we have this language in here and try to weave it into some of the other elements where it may not be there yet now. So it is a really important topic. And I think in just as we're going to be looking at something in the introduction, the beginning of the plan that acknowledges that we're coming out of this pandemic, that we also are going to acknowledge that we're fiscally constrained, that funding is an issue, and that we need to evaluate costs and benefits kind of fundamentally as part of the way we operate as a city. And I don't know if there's specific comments or questions, but I do want to just point out that we added this policy on public-private partnerships because that has come up a number of times in different contexts as something that's really important and has the potential to really help close gaps in the future.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that, I wanted to, in that regard, I wanted to go back to what we were talking about, education. I think there was a program or a policy about engaging the business community. The business community is, there's a lot of energy in the business community to help with the schools. I mean, people who are local business people, especially, really want to do things. And so I think it's an untapped reservoir, frankly. And there are a lot of ways that that businesses probably could, you know, would want to interface with the schools and interface with our city educational programs to help and better coordinate so that they get employees, we get jobs in town, things like that. So that's a public-private partnership that I think can be developed more. And I would ask that you spend a little more, put a little more thought on that back in, you know, where were we? Under goal one. Sorry, I didn't get a chance to mention that. In internships and the relationships to the business, policies 1-3 and program 1-3A. I mean, like the Gelati funding of, I guess it's the construction council, what's their name? What's the construction organization that?
The Marin Builders Association?
You know, they're trying to do a training program to, you know, train, get skills for, you know, electricians, plumbers. Those are fairly high, they're very high skilled work now, and people need training in it. And they're nicely, they pay nicely, but there's a lot of people who would like to help.
Barry, I'm really sorry, but I have to hop on another call for another meeting, so I need to scoot out of this one.
We'll
all right, thank you. I'll see you guys later.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks, right, Karen.
Bye. Barry, I also think that the public-private partnerships is, it also needs to highlight the importance of using private partners of the private development world to benefit for the public entities to benefit from. You know, you see this at the UC environment now all the time, that they're able to get over significant infrastructure and development hurdles with going through a public-private partnership relationship where they're relying on the sort of the payback process and the private equity going into the development of said infrastructure and housing. So rather than us waiting for a hungry developer to come in or a partner to come in and start to build out infrastructure, we need to incentivize there to be some sort of relationship building between the public entities, the private sector, and ensure that there is sort of a net and economic benefit for both parties, and to incentivize capital upgrades. The city.
Thanks.
Well, incentives are, that's a big word to put in a document like this. I'm thinking of maybe just adding some examples of successful public-private partnerships, like Beach Park, like the Point San Pedro Road on Melrose District. Things like that as examples of sort of unique to San Rafael coming together of public and private interests to have a net gain for everyone. I don't think we want to start advertising that we have incentives, come here, and if you build some public thing, we'll let you have something else. I don't know that that's the right message we want to send.
How about no taxes for 20 years?
Okay.
And they don't even have to be, you know, huge projects. I mean, I remember two years ago, I mean, we wanted to put a flagpole in at Albert Park, right? I mean, the old flagpole had fallen down. So the Elks actually donated a $10,000 flagpole. And they did it out of the goodness of their hearts because it was good for the community.
The new Albert Park was privately funded, and then the city took it over to carry out the rest, right?
Right.
I think probably we should, before anybody else has to jump on to the their next call, this would probably be a pretty good time to thank you all for your participation and your contributions today and at every one of our meetings. Barry, I think is there another committee meeting tomorrow?
Yes, Equity, Diversity, Inclusion is tomorrow, and some of you are going to be on that call. Some of you, unfortunately, will not be on that call. And again, I will apologize for the fact that we have to limit attendance at these meetings to 11 people. We are looking at having a virtual meeting of the full committee in May, possibly using a different technology than Zoom, for a presentation on the downtown precise plan and a discussion with the committee on that. So stay tuned for more information on that. In the meantime, after tomorrow, we will have gone through all of the policies of the general plan and are now assembling the draft document for committee consideration. So we're still moving forward. And I thank you all for adapting to our new world order here.
And thank you. Thank you for all your hard work.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Be well.
Bye.
Thanks, Mary Beth. Bye.